Mm-hmm. That's from the Passion of the Christ. I wrestled with where I want to start with this thing.
And you're doing slides, right?
Hmm?
Are you doing slides?
Again? Yeah, I'm going to do that too. I have to get onto the living room, right? Yeah.
It's on you, darling.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. There's another song that I was thinking about using that I had never heard the song until after I was like 23 or 24. It's going to come up later in what I'm doing. But I thought I would start off kind of Bill Johnson a little bit. The song is, I'm going to come back to that because it says a lot of interesting things. But mostly that he raises us up. But we're going to look at what he did for Abraham, kind of. Anyway, I found a joke. I like Bill Johnson starts with jokes.
He does.
Yes.
And I always enjoy his jokes. So I thought, it's okay for me to have a joke. And when I was going through
we'll
the
let
jokes,
you know.
It's about heaven. Sort of. I'm just going to read this joke. It's a conversation.
Okay.
Kind of. Anyway, there's an 85-year-old couple, and they had been married nearly 60 years. Though they were far from rich, they managed to get by because they watched their pennies. Though not young, they were both in very good health, largely due to the wife's insistence on healthy foods and exercise for the last decade, which I kind of thought this was funny because it reminds me of Becky and me in some ways. Okay, so one day their good health didn't help when they went on a rare vacation and their plane crashed, sending them off to heaven. It says, they reached the pearly gates and St. Peter escorted them inside. He took them to a beautiful mansion. I like mansions. It says, furnished in gold and fine silks with a fully stocked kitchen and a waterfall in the master bath. Becky would like that.
Yeah.
Okay. A maid could be seen hanging their favorite clothes in the closet. They gasped in astonishment when he said, welcome to heaven. This will be your new home. It says, the old man asked Peter, how much will this be? It says, why nothing, Peter replied. Remember, this is your reward in heaven. It says, the old man looked out the window and right there he saw the championship golf course, finer and more beautiful than anything he'd ever seen on earth. What are the greens fees? Grumbled the old man. This is heaven, Peter replied. You can play free every day. Next, they went to the clubhouse and saw the lavish buffet lunch with every magical cuisine laid out before them. From seafood to steaks to exotic desserts, free-flowing beverages. Don't even ask, said St. Peter then. This is heaven. It is all free for you to enjoy. The old man looked around and glanced nervously at his wife. Well, where are the low fat and low cholesterol foods? And the decaffeinated tea, he asked. That's the best part, St. Peter replied. You can eat and drink as much as you like of whatever you like, and you will never get fat or sick. This is heaven. The old man pushed. No gym to work out at? Not unless you want to, was the answer. No testing my sugar or blood pressure or never again. All you do here is enjoy yourself. The old man glared at his wife and said, "You and your bran muffins. We could have been here 10 years ago."
Yeah, Darla.
Because I'm eating my cookie.
Okay, now, I've been reading Your Journey to Significance as my devotion. And every day, Bill Johnson has something he says. And sometimes, and I haven't been good about highlighting or even bringing this on a regular basis because there's really interesting things he says. But today, he said something about prayer. And since you were starting off with prayer, it says, prayer is not where we try to persuade God of anything. We must love his will and be unimpressed with ours. This privileged position is where his heart and his will become our own. And our partnership is revealed through prayer.
That's beautiful.
Very simple and to the point. It's not manipulation. It's, in a sense, it's more revelation.
Relationship.
So, here we go. Oh yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I like my stuff. Abraham, or I was going to start this as Abram, because that's where he starts. And some of the best stuff for him starts before his name gets changed.
Right.
But we recognize him as Abraham. Why could he laugh? I was reading, because I'm doing my Bible reading for the year, and I'm doing a chronological reading this year, but still, when I got to Genesis, I was really excited. And I get excited about Genesis. I also get excited about Chronicles because all the genealogy things. You know, I like reading that.
Really?
I do.
Everybody likes to skip over that. Well, I read it.
Right? Because they have all the words. There are things that repeat a lot. If it was Leviticus, there's a place where they're getting ready to dedicate the tabernacle, and the representatives of 12 tribes have to bring a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And they bring the exact same one. There are 12 wagons with 12 bulls and 12 this. And it, every one of them has the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't get tired because that's what he wants. Mm-hmm. We all can bring the same thing. And it's exciting. And so I get excited about those things, even though I don't always realize that nobody else appreciates it very much. In fact, it got Becky really angry one day. We were playing Bible trivia, and it asked something, and I remembered it for the genealogies. She said it was about a brother or something, and I said, "I know that." And she looked at me and said, "No, you don't." I said, "Sure, it's this." And then she got mad and walked and quit the game. I'm starting to remember more things. As I read the Bible more and more, I remember more. When I got to Abraham, why could he laugh when the Lord says you're gonna have offspring and it's gonna be like stars and he laughs. He doesn't get in trouble. Later on, Sarah laughs. She gets in trouble. Why could he laugh? So, I think we need to know that,
right?
So, here we go.
We need to know if we're laughing with me. Are you laughing with me, or are you laughing?
Yeah, it's not even that. I was thinking about that when I was working on this thing. And God said, no, it's not that. It has nothing to do with...
Oh, right.
You know, or even that you can get forgiven. You sin now and forgive. Yeah. Have nothing to do with that because Sarah could do that.
Yeah.
She got in trouble anyway.
Yeah.
So there are some unique people. So I just thought I'd bring out some uniquenesses. Noah is unique.
Yeah.
Like Abraham is unique. And his family benefited from his uniqueness. He was the righteous one, not his family. They all got, you know, the sons, the daughters-in-law, his wife, they all got to get on the ark because of him. And everybody in the world died instead of him. And so he's kind of unique.
Right.
We have Moses, the most humble man in the world. Mm. Yeah. Unique. He was a savior, in a sense, to Israel, which mm-hmm. was a thankless job for him and for God. I mean, they were the stiff-necked people, but that's Moses' claim to fame was really that he was the humblest man. There's David, the man after God's own heart. But was he perfect?
No.
But he was very unique. Mm-hmm. He was doing good things. He killed bears, he killed lions, saved sheep, killed Goliath, gave credit to God. But he messed up. But he was still unique, and God blessed him in spite of his
weakness.
He ate the bread from the tabernacle. Nobody was supposed to eat that except for the priests.
Mm-hmm. But he wasn't a priest,
wasn't even in the right tribe. Mm-hmm. Wow. But he was eating that. And you know, he's in his Psalms, he says some very amazing things.
Yeah.
In spite of how he lived sometimes. He wasn't exactly a picture perfect father because he had all sorts of kids that got in trouble.
Dysfunction.
Yeah, a lot of dysfunction. That's a good word, dysfunction. And then we have Abraham. Well, I put Abram because he starts off there. Mm-hmm. And he gets called out of his home. So, there's also this. You got to listen to that. I'm not going to pray the whole thing because it's silly. But it's what everybody, and I never knew this song until later on. I never liked this song.
I never liked it as a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was bad. There. Okay. It's going to play. It's a book. It's not going to play.
Maybe God's saving us.
Maybe he's saving us, but it's Father Abraham and your many sons. And that's all it says. And then it goes through
ourselves.
Your arms and legs, and you repeat and repeat, and you never learn anything about Father Abraham. There's nothing that, it's totally pointless. In my logical thinking, it's pointless. And for little kids, it's fun. But you realize that all those kids grow up and a lot of them are abandoning the Lord because they have been filled with Father Abraham's.
Right.
They don't know anything. Right. If you quiz them, they can't pass a quiz.
Right. Yeah, they know he has many sons.
But you know, it's...
They're not yet.
Biblical knowledge is not supported by songs like this. There are other songs, and as they grow up, I mean, when I was teaching middle school, Sunday school in church, it was amazing how many things they didn't know. And they had gone through church being educated. But they weren't. Well, they are presented information, but they aren't taught, and they don't learn. And so it gets really hard to do things. But here's Genesis 12:1 says, The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Good verse. Why did Abram listen? Do you ever think about that? Mm-hmm. Every lesson I've ever taught, every message I've ever heard about 12:1 says that, well, you know, his father, they were pagans. Mm-hmm. They were polytheists. They were... And, you know, there's a later story where, you know, Jacob is accused of stealing somebody's idols when it was actually Rachel who stole all the idols. Right. And was sitting on them, hid them under her saddle and sat on it and said, I'm in the way of it and I can't get up. So Laban didn't bother to search. But if they're polytheists, where did Abram get listening to God?
Right.
Well, in in my readings, I got really excited because in Genesis 31, 53, it says that the God of Abram and Haran and other fathers, the God, meaning one God, in the midst of polytheism, there were a couple of monotheists that knew something about God. What they knew, I don't know, but they knew enough that they listened. All of them didn't have all the idols. Abram didn't have idols. He didn't take anything with him.
Interesting.
But he did some silly things too.
Yeah.
But he left not knowing where he was going to go. God just said, go to a place I'm going to show you. He didn't have a GPS.
Right.
And he didn't have maps.
Right.
He had God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of why he could laugh, I think, is that there was something special happening inside of him, which we're going to get to. Mm-hmm. Which made me think. And it also brought me to some things I used to do. I've been refreshing my memory on with the 40 days of fasting negativity, the the Backlund thing.
Uh-huh.
And as I'm reading through, and I remember these things, and this is really cool. Then something else that I used to think, I start to remember other things. It brings back memories for me.
Yeah.
And Genesis, Abraham is an interesting guy. And so but in my teaching, I was looking through notes and said, I wonder if there's anything I have that's old. And I used to do acrostic poems. I would pick a word, like the law lesson, and I did the Torah, and I did the five books and I did 6 weeks worth of each book. But I created an acrostic poem for the title that would tell you what's inside the book. I used to take notes in acrostic poems. I would listen to Mark at DCC, and I'd hear what he was going to say, and he'd give me the introduction to I know where you're going.
Mm.
And I would write something, what I thought was going to be the key word, down, and I'd write my acrostic. And I'd be listening, and I'd go, yep. And God gave me every point that he had.
Oh, cool.
And I have two notebooks, or like this, that just have acrostic poems in them. And I have other, I mean, I used them a lot. I used to teach with them all the time. And I have one for this lesson, which is going to come up pretty nice soon, but it's coming. And so we have a guy who listens to God, but if he shouldn't have been able to hear God, if he's with all the polytheists, but he was, in a sense, separated somewhat from that thinking. So, here we go. Genesis 15. And he brought him outside. This is where he gets this promise. And he brought him outside, meaning God, and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. He didn't have any kid yet. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is one of those verses that Paul writes in Romans in chapter 4. Same thing. He quotes Genesis and talks about the faith of Abraham and righteousness. He didn't have any. You catch that? It says, and he believed the Lord, and he, meaning God, counted it to him as righteousness. He counted. He put it on his account. He had a bankrupt account. You have a bank account that you've overdrawn your checks. You have zero. And God says, I'm going to cover now you have righteousness. It's counted. Now, you have to live according to that, though. You have this account, now live according to the account. So it just counts it to him. It didn't make him righteous. It just says, I'm going to count this, and you're good. We're good. We're going to get to righteousness. That's my acrostic. That's going to be the acrostic that we're going to deal with. This is what helped him laugh. that it was counted to him as righteous. It opened a door of relationship with God. Sarah didn't have it yet. Because he laughs in front of God. Sarah was laughing in the tent and lying about it. So, let's take a look at, yes. It's going to, the red letters are going to spell righteousness.
Okay.
And then I'm going to, and why I like the song is that we're raised up. So we are raised beyond, I said my ability, but our ability. We are raised beyond our ability because we don't have the ability to be raised up.
Right.
So righteousness is being raised up to a new level, new place.
Like
raised beyond an ability. All of us need that. We make some kind of a personal declaration that gets us saved, okay? But what we do is, we do what Abraham did, we believe something, and God counts it as righteousness. He gives us Jesus. The righteousness of Jesus is what we get. And it's in submission to something. We have decided to back off on our who we are. You probably have to repeat that quite a bit. Submitting is not easy, but in submission to God, knowing, okay, this is a, like a definition, it's raised beyond my ability, in submission to God, knowing he will do something. Maybe he hasn't done it yet, but we're, you know, even the first thing, I'm getting forgiven. I'm not sure exactly what that means or how it feels, if it feels anyway, and what else happens in the future. I have no idea. I just know I need something and you got it. So we are raised beyond our ability in submission to God, knowing he will take me or take us. He's going to take us somewhere. He's the leader. We're not allowed to go on our own. I used to have a game called Pollyanna. It was based on another game, Parcheesi, going around the board.
Oh yeah.
The first one to get, you know. But Pollyanna had built-in shortcuts. And it had every corner had this little loop. And it was a risk. If you took the loop and somebody else got a lucky roll of the dice, and they beat you anyway. Or sometimes there were some nasty things that could happen to you along the way. And the shortcut didn't always become short. And sometimes we decide we're gonna take a rabbit trail because it looks cute, it looks smart, it looks like it's going downhill, and that'll be easier, only downhill takes you to hell. Uphill takes you, you know? Think in terms of directions. So it's going to take me into, but this is a Steve Backman kind of an idea, into every promise. It takes us into his promises. We don't have them exactly. We do, but we don't. They're there. How many people know promises? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and, you know, the sound, the whole thing. Do we know the promise? He hasn't given us that. So what does he give us? Do we remember? How many times do we have a promise that we don't know? I used to get upset because these little boxes of God's promises. But people don't know them. They don't even read their Bibles.
Right.
Most people stop reading books after they get out of high school or college. They never read a book again. Never.
Right.
And I can't find enough time to read the books I have. And I read. So, he takes me into every promise. Obedience is not necessary. I miswrote it. Where is my other notes? I typed it in wrong.
That's okay.
Obedience, not understanding. Should put a comma in there.
No.
Punctuation gets me. Obedience, not understanding, is needed. Surrendering, nothing withheld.
You're saying
says, he takes me into every promise. Obedience, not understanding, is needed.
I got it.
I mistyped it.
Yeah.
That's the problem with doing these kinds of things.
You can't understand it until you've experienced it.
And our understanding doesn't get us to obey.
No.
Obedience is something that we have to choose to do.
Right.
Understanding is not a choice.
It may or may not get that one, yeah.
Understanding comes with experience, with other things, but obedience has to be a choice.
So
we have to choose
to
obey. So understanding is not an important thing. And how many times do we see the apostles confused?
Oh, yeah.
And they're the ones that are supposed to be in charge.
Yeah, no
kidding. Kind of.
They're the ones that are right there with
But understanding is going to come. Jesus said, it's coming. Mm-hmm. Just do it.
Right.
Just do it.
That's where the surrendering also.
Yes, surrendering, and then you hold nothing back. Mm-hmm. So sometimes my order of words is not exactly normal way, but it's because I'm doing poetry. It's the only kind of poetry I really get excited about. So, actually, because this is what God gives me. Sometimes I type it wrong, but that's my problem, not his.
That's right there.
So nothing is withheld. And we are expecting strength and security. Righteousness. All of that is a package.
I just like your word expecting. How many times do we say, well, I hope, or I wish? No, a confident expecting. I may not see
it
or apprehend it.
Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the expectation. It's coming.
Right.
We see the guarantee, although we don't understand the guarantee.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is a down payment on our guarantee.
Uh-huh.
Be smiling. Okay, so we have this. And that's what God was counting to the faith of Abraham. He says, this is what I'm giving you. Now this is what we have to do.
Right.
I put it in your account, but now you gotta learn how to do it. Which is not that hard. It's just making the choices. Right. Obedience is hard.
Yeah.
Seeing what's the list of things we should be able to do is not. It's not like obeying the Ten Commandments. This is points of life. And we have to learn how to live.
That's good.
It's not commandments, it's points of life. So
I like that.
This is where he laughs. Later on, he says, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And God's standing there. But they don't have a discussion about laughing. The next chapter, he has a discussion with Sarah about laughing. He says, why didn't you laugh?
I didn't laugh.
He got caught. But what did he have? He had a measure of righteousness that was accounted to him, and he was starting to live honestly. He was living. He had his points of failure. You know, he lied to Pharaoh, and he lied to, before and after. I mean, it was not easy to do the right things. Mm-hmm. But he's going. And God recognizes he's doing this in front of me. He's falling down. He's chuckling, but he's thinking, and I know what he's thinking, and he's not denying anything. He just,
Right.
How is this going to happen? But he didn't say, it's not going to happen. Right. He said, how is it going to happen? And God says, leave that to me. He says, what you see up there in the sky is an example of what I'm going to do for you. The stars, in quantity, but you ever think that the stars also are shining lights? Mm. You're going to have lights. Not just numbers. Mm. It's lights. Mm. How many lights are you going to have? my light. So, I think this is the end. I think. Yes, it's the end. So there.
Righteousness.
So, why could he laugh? Because he was having a relationship with the Lord, and it allowed him to be open and alive. Mm-hmm. We can be open and alive. We can laugh, we can cry, we can live.
Right.
And that's what people need to see around us.
Right.
Then we'll have lights in the world. Stars.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a good
That's word. Much better than sand.
Yeah.
Sand is just a number, but stars, it's more to that.
Mm-hmm. Your, just your acronym on the righteousness is, I think, striking, because how many we often will attach it to good and right behavior.
Behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But, I mean, and good and right behavior is a fruit of believing.
Yeah.
So it comes second, but wow, that's what we did.
You know, the one obedience, you did have it. Obedience, not understanding is needed. Understanding is not needed there. Mm-hmm. Until, like, I've seen people who have never experienced healing or seen it done, but they have a hard time with it, like the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen people who received it, other than Dave, I seen our, when we were over the other, over there,
oh, yeah.
I seen a friend of mine pray for somebody, and he prayed for the wrong leg. Honestly,
yeah.
Angel, and the leg, his leg grew out.
Hmm.
He's still working today. He works out in the field. He used to come to Grace Point.
And
he said, did the right leg get healed? And he goes, you prayed for the wrong bone, but the right one got healed. It was funny.
Wow.
It was funny because I was standing there watching his leg come out.
Yeah.
Danny. And then he understood.
Yeah.
The other guy, the guy that he was praying for,
I didn't even do it right, and God healed it.
It didn't matter. Like, what did, what did he say? When he'd say, when I pray, I say apples, oranges, you know, there's no
mm-hmm.
rhyme or reason the way you pray, you know. It was Ahab. That was with Chris Backlund.
Yeah.
Or with Steve Backlund. Backlund. Steve Backlund, I mean. Yeah, the Canaan. He said that. I haven't forgot that. Dan always says that.
Yeah, that's good.
That was really good.
Yeah. It's
I'm going to go back and look at the laugh part. Because I've missed that.
It's like I got excited about Genesis again for different reasons. In the first, then every year I read the Bible, every year I get excited for different reasons. Abraham got me excited this year.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I don't know what else is going to happen.
Oh,
go.
My God.
Yeah.
You know, when I've been teaching in other places, my experience suddenly comes to my memory, and people will ask me, "Why? How do you know that?" And I will say something like, "I was there. Yeah. I was a witness personal. Like the Jesus Revolution, I want to see the movie to see how much of it I was in it.
Right.
I was there.
To remember that, yeah.
I mean, I was telling you about the rejection I had at a church because I went to Biola, which is a conservative Christian school, but because I had a mustache. And hair was longer than it used to be allowed, and
you got rejection.
It was, but funny. the churches
wow.
were starting to stand against Viola because it was loosening its standards,
uh-huh.
where it didn't matter scripturally, and you know, the pastor wouldn't talk to me, and I had a project I was working on for school, and
the hair was too long.
So I had to redirect what I was going to do for my, you know. But that's why the Jesus Revolution, that's why Chuck Smith, you know, the churches were rejecting people even if they're Christians. Because
yeah.
they didn't fit their mold. You have, if you're going to come to our church, you have to, on a Sunday, you have to have short hair, you have to have a suit, you have to have a tie, or you have to have the dress, or you have to be dressed like a Christian. You have to look like you're saved already. I mean, the first sermon I ever preached, a church member got saved and came up to my altar call.
That's cool.
So is it, But, you know, Baptist churches, you're expected to have an altar call.
Right.
So I did.
Yeah.
And I had a church member. And church being a Christian is a requirement for church membership. And they have but this person knew all the right answers, but didn't believe all the right answers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think God's going to bring to your memory things that are unique.
Right.
That will fit the time that you're in and the person you're with.
Right.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law helped introduce Becky and me to Melody Lamp. She started going there to charismatic conventions and things. And so she brought us and we got involved with it. And I took my youth groups there. And some people didn't like that I was doing that in other churches, because I would do stuff and they started to not participate in my events because they might lose their members because my events were more fun. But they were also different because they leaned towards the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so that was a tricky thing, because the hippies were put in tents with Chuck Smith, because that's where he started. He had a little church, and then he said, somebody's got to do something for these people. You can't just throw them out because they're dirty.
Right.
Those are the choices they've made, and their insights are evident on the outside.
Yeah, God.
So,
pray.
I'm going to pray. Yes. I didn't forget. Exactly. Oh Lord, we praise you because you are good, and it's all the time. Even when we aren't seeing it, you're good. And we need to start thinking and reminding ourselves, remembering all the good things that you do. Because those stories of our lives will help other people understand that you deal with real issues in real people's lives. That we need to be just people who live. And others are asking us why. We need to be alive and living. Help us to be alive and living, and to read with a new appreciation, and to understand even when it's hard, to believe even when it's difficult, to obey because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Lord, bless us and take good care of us.
Yes.
So that we can bless others and take good care of them.
Amen. Thanks.
Amen. Amen.